Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 253 of Never on the Backfoot podcast. In this episode, we are in conversation with an emerging star from Uganda, Alpesh Ramjani. 2023 was a storming year for Ugandan cricket, which was helped in no small part by Alpesh, who was both stellar with the ball and valuable with the bat. He was a nightmare for the batters with his left arm orthodox, taking a record 55 wickets in his 30 outings, the most among men's players in the format across the year. He struck every 11 balls for Uganda, and with the bat, he was more than capable, deployed in different positions in the order across the year. His stellar run ensured Uganda's qualification to the T20 World Cup in 2024. Without further ado, let's understand more about his journey. Hi Alpesh, welcome to Never on the Backfoot podcast. First up, congratulations on getting nominated for ICC Men's T20I Cricketer of the Year. It's of course a big honor. So what are your first thoughts on being on the podcast?
It's always good to be expressing and sharing the experience for what the journey that you have been through. And about ICC Cricketer of the Year, first of all, I would like to thank ICC for nominating me for this award. And secondly, I would like to also congratulate, and I would like also give a thanks to BCCI and MCA for bringing out a cricketer inside me when I was in India and in Mumbai. And thirdly, I would like to also congratulate and give a special thanks to Uganda Cricket Association also for giving me an opportunity to represent Uganda and take Uganda to the very next level. And yeah, it's a very good feeling for me also to represent myself and my country at the highest level. So I would like to also thank Uganda Cricket Association for seeing me as a cricketer and seeing my cricket in myself and giving me an opportunity to represent Uganda and taking Uganda to the highest level. And Uganda Cricket has been standing rock solid behind me and helping me in each and every way to enhance my performance and take Uganda to the next level. And when you are nominated with all the international stalwarts along with Surya Kumar Yadav, Sikandar Raza and Chapman, so it's kind of a great feeling. And as you know that those stalwarts, those great players have done something in their life, and me also, I'm on that track, and that is why I'm standing next to them. So it gives me immense proud, makes me immense proud, and gives me an opportunity to see myself standing next to them.
Absolutely. I mean, even the kind of journey you've had in your cricketing career so far is worth exploring. And that's why, as soon as I got this opportunity to talk to you, I was like, yes, let's, do this, because it was such a remarkable story in itself. And just going back a little, what was your childhood like? And if you could also, reflect on some of the early influences that kind of shaped you and your life, how would that look like?
So starting from my childhood, so as you know, India is a home of cricket. So whenever a child says what you want to become, what he wants to become is like, I want to be a Virat Kohli, I want to be a cricketer. So starting from playing in our buildings and playing tennis, cricket and everything when you are a childhood. So that turned into my passion, and I thought, why not to pursue this thing and become a cricketer? So as you know, the summer vacations after the school ends in the summer. So that's when I decided to join an academy. So there my coach saw some talent in me, and he made sure that, I play a good school cricket. So after that, I went to Rizvi High School, wherein I got an opportunity to play for Rizvi Springfield High School. Then I represented Mumbai under 16, then under 19, and things like, and it flew off. And as you know, now it's a time that, when I look back at my journey, it's always been an exciting And you know, whenever I sit back and I can just cherish those moments. And first of all, I would like to add that, you know, even my family members, they also helped me to pursue my career in cricket, and they were like, you know, they supported me in each and every way. And I would say that, you know, those were the people who influenced me. Yeah, you can just continue with the career, and we are behind you.
Wow, that is quite fascinating, you know, having this strong support system from your family, who back you throughout is certainly the way to go. And even if you had to, look back, what is your earliest memory of cricket? Now, this can be something like, watching it first on TV, and did that get you interested in the game?
During my childhood, it was like, you know, seeing everybody playing cricket. So that was a time when I thought that, you know, let's go and give it a try. Let's start playing cricket, like whenever it used to be like happening in the building. So watching my elders playing cricket, like, you know, that gave me like, you know, let's go and try and play cricket. So being a footballer also in my past, so I just thought, you know, just take a time out, let's play cricket with my friends, go on to a nets and everything. So that was a time that, you know, influenced me to play cricket, and from that childhood, that developed an interest to me, an inclination towards cricket.
Right. And even, growing up, did you have any favorite cricketer? Now, this can be male or female, who kind of influenced you largely to take up the game, and you kind of had them as a role model figure?
So when I was playing my cricket, when I'm playing my cricket, so I used to visualize myself like MS Dhoni. So he has been an ideal and inspiration for me, because the way he has progressed, and the way he has taken his game to his next level, to the next level. So, you know, it's commendable, it's creditable. And I myself, you know, make sure that, you know, I follow the way his training, and visualize and idolize myself like MS Dhoni, because I feel like somewhat my instincts and everything is quite a bit similar to MS Dhoni.
Right, like a lot of us, I guess, who really look up to MS Dhoni for the kind of figure he has been in Indian cricket, massive. And even looking at your career now, you're a left-arm spinner. So did spin bowling come very naturally to you, or were you the kind of bowler who tried out pace and then realized, hey, spin is my forte, so I'm probably going to stick to that?
The spin was something that I was always inclined to. So watch. So I watched. So I grew up watching Daniel Vittori from New Zealand, and right now Ravindra Jadeja. So the thing is, like, when I was young enough, so I used to watch Daniel Vittori a lot, and that was like something. Yes, no. Being a left-arm spinner, and you know, and that helped. Then that also helped me in my. And developing my skills, and the way Vittori bowled. So that was like basically, I didn't know I wanted to become a left-arm spinner from the early stage. And yeah, and that helped me to that helped then th and that helped me to get myself into, like, you know, left-arm spinner. And as you know, left-arm spinners are very rare to find now. So and with the batting also instincts in me, so I just thought left-arm spinner and a left-handed batsman, it's like a deadly combination.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that really makes you this unique proposition in international cricket at the moment. And I'm sure, you must have had some coaches, role model figures who have been quite instrumental in your journey. So who are some of them, and what role have they played?
I would like to say that, you know, from my childhood, so I had my only one coach, so where I used to go and train with him. So his name is Mr. Amol Garg. So he was the only one instrumental in enhancing my skills, enhancing myself in terms of mental aspects and physical aspects, and game related aspects. So he has been like, you know, he has seen my bad times, he has seen my good times. So he's the only one I can say that I always look up to him whenever I need help in the terms of cricket. And make and I and he makes sure that, you know, he guides me in the right way, and just make sure that, you know, whatever I do, is in the improving of my game.
Wow, that is again, you know, remarkable to hear, because having a coach like that definitely helps in building your game. Now, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned, you know, that Mumbai was such an important part in your journey. You've also played in the Mumbai League. So overall, how would you look at like the Indian cricket ecosystem, the level of competition? Did that kind of bring out the best in you?
For that, I would say that, you know, I would like to thanks Mumbai Cricket Association and BCCI for bringing out my best cricket in myself, because as you see, I've even played MPL, so that brought out the player which was inside me out, and that gave me an idea that, you know, I can perform at the highest level. And as you know, BCCI, it's a fantastic association, and one of the biggest boards in the world. So and the likes of Sir Saurav Ganguly, he himself being a cricketer, and he was to be in the system. So that has brought away different changes in terms of like administrative part, and as you know, the Indian cricket is at its peak right now, thanks to all the cricketers sitting up and taking up the administrative part, and that has helped for the development of the cricket in India.
Certainly. And I think, you know, India's performances in the recent past has really gone to show how, you know, they have been a dominant force to reckon with, thanks to some of the brilliant initiatives by the BCCI. Now, this was a curious question that I did want to ask, you know, and based on my research, I wasn't very satisfied with what I read. So how did you decide, you know, to shift gears to Uganda to actually pursue your cricketing aspirations? And could you just run us through the mindset behind a decision of this nature?
As you know that, you know, I always like traveling. I love to play at different places, different venues. So I just thought, I don't know, Africa League, so there are different leagues in Africa. So I just thought, you know, why not to try, and why not to explore that part of the world. So I just went there to play the leagues, the first class in the Uganda. And you know, I had a very good season that year, and after that, you know, and Uganda Cricket just thought that, you know, we could take this players and take that player and ask him to represent Uganda. And I was like, you know, what a great opportunity for me to express and play the international level. So that shift for me was quite good, and it was like blessing in disguise that came to me. And grabbing the opportunity by both the hands, and I just thought that, you know, yeah, if someone has to pursue his dream, this is a country where I can, you know, just look forward to it.
Definitely. And even the kind of run you've had in the past year in 2023, where, you know, you scalped like 55 wickets in 30 outings, you've been phenomenal for Uganda. So how would you describe your year and things that really worked well for you?
As you know that, you know, the things like initially, it's quite tough to, you know, when you have to prove yourself, but as you settle in the team, so things go on pretty much easy, and thanks to Uganda cricket coaches and staff that, you know, they make sure that I had a good space and good environment around me so that I can perform well and just go it with the flow. And that is how they make sure that, you know, I was mentally in a good shape and physically in a good shape for so that, you know, I can deliver what they had asked for, and as a player they asked from me.
Certainly. And how would you look at your experience of, you know, playing in the qualifiers? Now the T20 World Cup is beckoning, and Uganda certainly had such a remarkable run in that tournament. So could you run us through Uganda's journey and all the highs and lows?
Yeah, so the journey was quite ups and downs. So, you know, as you know that, you know, we had two good teams from Africa continent. One was Zimbabwe and one was Namibia. So for us to qualify for the World Cup, we had to beat either one of these two teams. So about the biggest challenge was to beat those two teams, either of the two teams. So we lost our first game against, we lost our second game against Namibia. So at that time, we thought that, if we have to play the cricket, we have to play it fearless. So the next game was against Zimbabwe. So we pulled up our socks, we reunited ourselves as a team. And we make sure that, whatever happens, irrespective of the result, we are going to play the fearless cricket, what Uganda is known for. And that brought out the new kind of energy into the team, and we were able to beat Zimbabwe. But that was just the start, because before that game we had nothing to lose, and after that game, after winning the game against Zimbabwe, we had everything to lose, we had everything at the stake, because our next two games were against Kenya and Nigeria, Nigeria and Rwanda. So and Kenya, it has always been like a hurdle for us, because whenever we play against them, so they play as a very strong opponent against us. So beating Kenya was a great win for us. And I would say that, that night we had a very sleepless night, thinking of everything that, nothing should go wrong against Kenya, because we have worked so hard against Zimbabwe. And until the last ball of the game was bowled, we were on our toes, and we make sure that, we win those games. And against Nigeria, the thing was like, it was raining, it was drizzling over there, so we thought that, we have to finish this game as soon as possible, and we did not wanted the rain to affect our game. And against Rwanda, it was like, yeah, it was like just a go through. We got them out on 60, we chased it, and we had that wonderful and the memorial tournament for for each and every player of our team.
Certainly, and for a lot of us fans, watching this journey was simply phenomenal. Navigating all the highs and lows, and I think what really stood out was how you were, the tournament's second highest wicket taker. You had 12 wickets in those 6 matches. So again, what do you think really worked well for you, and were you able to read the conditions better, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. So the preparation that we had did in Zimbabwe really helped us out to bring out our best as a cricketer. So before the tour, we had a practice and the training sessions in Zimbabwe, Takashinga. So the match practice that we had done had was instrumental in bringing out the success in me and my team. So the conditions in Namibia were pretty much as compared to one in Zimbabwe, and we had trained ourselves, so and we have adapted ourselves so that we can we so that there was nothing new for us, because we knew and we had confidence in our preparation, and as a team we knew that we can deliver. Talking about myself, I just thought to keep the things simple and not to complicate things, because we thought we'll take the game one by one match by one match, and one ball by one ball. So that really helped me in keeping my nerves relaxed, and I made sure that, nothing gets into my head, keeping the game simple as I could, and taking the game one by one was my ultimate mantra for the whole of the World Cup qualifiers.
Certainly, and I think, as they say, the rest is history. And now, Uganda will be playing in that T20 World Cup 2024. So, are you excited at the prospects of, squaring off against very strong oppositions and the chance to play at a tournament of this nature?
Yes, certainly. Yes, for every cricketer, it's a dream to play a World Cup, and that too against a team like in our group, as those are West Indies, Zimbabwe, PNG, and Afghanistan. So we are playing against the best sides in the world. So it is going to be a very good experience for us to learn few things, irrespective of whatever result happens. But at the end of the day, what we are going to learn in that World Cup is going to help us for the rest of our life. And we as a cricketer, It is immense pleasure to represent our country at the highest level and playing against those legends that we only used to see them in the television. So and for us, it's like, you know, playing against them. It's a great achievement and great honor for us.
Definitely. And although, you know, the T20 World Cup comes a little later on this year, do you have any goals and mindset, you know, that you have set for the year that's coming? And do you visualize yourself with certain goals?
Yes, definitely. So as you know, as you know that, you know, the World Cup is around and the next year IPL also is, and next year I'm making sure that, you know, I perform well so that I get picked up for IPL for the next season. So it's like, you know, for me, it's just about performing. Let my action speak and, you know, the World Cup, it's going to be an adventurous for us, based on that performance and based on the things. So I would like to see myself playing the leagues around the world so that, you know, I play with the best of the team, best of the players, and best of the franchisees.
Absolutely. And here's manifesting, you know, we get to see you play franchisee cricket all around the world, because that would do you and your career a world of good. And seeing you, you know, in different colors will definitely be the aim. And even, you know, looking at large at the Uganda cricket ecosystem as well, how would you describe the growth? Because now you were a newcomer in this whole setup. So how did you see yourself, you know, fitting into this type of a setup and even the overall growth of your peers?
First of all, I would like to thank Uganda Cricket Association for letting me represent Uganda at the highest level. And lately, what I have seen is like Uganda cricket has realized that you know, the it's a good time to improve the grassroots level in cricket of the country. So they have started school tournaments. They have started the university tournaments, and they have started searching for the players that are good around the up country, so that, you know, they give the opportunity and the training for the young cricketers who wish to and aspire to be a cricketer and represent Uganda. So they have set up camps all along the Uganda, and from there they have picked up and they bring up to the national camp that happens to be in the capital city of the country. So wherein they come, they train with the national team and make sure that they give their best and they get selected for the national side.
Wow, that is actually quite an interesting pathway, and great to see, you know, grassroots cricket getting this kind of support right from the cricketing association as well. And even looking at, you know, the aspect of how ICC is, you know, kind of helping nurture the development of association nation teams, what are your thoughts on the same? And do you believe it's a welcome step in the right direction that we see a lot more qualifiers now and hopefully more frequent bilateral cricket against top flight nations?
Yes, and I would like to also thank ICC for taking this initiative to you know, increase the team in ICC World Cup T20s. So as you know, now there are 20 teams. Like earlier there used to be only 16. So this gives an exposure for the more associate teams to come and participate and showcase their talent at the topmost level. ICC has been a key role. ICC is helping associate teams in terms of whatever they can help, in terms of financial, in terms of any other support any team needs to, you know, upbring their cricket and upbring their cricketing facilities around the associate nation, and it has it makes sure that, you know, the more the associate teams develop, the better cricket it is going to be for the entire cricketing fraternity.
Absolutely. That's actually really well put. And even looking at, you know, the matches that Uganda plays, it's mostly like T20 matches, right? So somewhere do you, you know, nurse the dreams of playing a lot of ODI cricket and perhaps, you know, even getting test status for Uganda?
Yes, definitely. As you know, T20 cricket is growing, but the thing is, like, you know, there is a challenge league that happens every 3 years. So last time we could not qualify on the net run rate. So this time the ICC is trying to make sure that, you know, every team gets an ODI status so that, you know, they can perform well and play also ODI World Cups. So for that, ICC have taken an initiative and they have make sure that, you know, every team gets a chance to play the Challenge League. That is a 50 over cricket that goes around for 2 to 2.5 years, and the winner ultimately gets the ODI status for 2 years. And with that, if they maintain, they rise up the ranks and make sure that, you know, they come and play with the best possible teams playing for ODI cricket and show their worth and mettle.
Certainly. And even personally, do you have like a favorite format? Like, are you a fan of test cricket? Do you think it's the pinnacle of the sport? Or are you more of a T20 kind of person where you see it's a very volatile format? There's so much to think. Or are you a fan of ODIs?
So test cricket is what it is called, the ultimate cricket. But and you know, it's a test of your patience, your physical and everything. So test cricket is a test of everything. But as you know, the cricket has evolved and it is a fast growing sport. So T20 is something that every people loves to play and watch like to watch. So my more inclination is towards cricket, but when you say what I prefer, test is a game that I love to play and I love to watch.
Certainly, and here's hoping we get to see you in test fights for Uganda as well, and a lot more like test matches and ODIs. And again, I remember reading this article of yours on the Wire where there are a lot of Indian and Pakistani cricketers who have formed like this very solid bond at the Uganda team. So how would you describe that equation, and do you have a favorite teammate?
Yeah, definitely. So irrespective of whichever country we come from, so when we play for Uganda, we play for Uganda, and you know, the bond and the bond amongst the player is exceptional. So there is a sense of brotherhood, there is a sense of like we are there for each other whenever it is required. So that brings up the team bonding, team level amongst each and every player, irrespective of whatever they come from. And yeah, I would say that, you know, one of my senior who is Franco Nasabuga, so he has been an idol and he has been an inspiration for me because, you know, I would like to share his story. He's 43, fit among 43 years old, still playing T20 cricket. He runs like he's a 19-year-old guy. And yes, he has been a role model for me and an inspiration, elder brother when I'm with the team, and I would say that he's one of my best teammates.
Wow, that is actually quite heartening to hear. And earlier in our conversation, you had mentioned how you kind of visualize and you take each game as it comes. So when it comes to the mental aspect of the game, which a lot of people take for granted, how do you handle, these high pressure or challenging situations?
So cricket is all cricket, as you say, it's a mental game. Yes, definitely, cricket is a very mental game. So every situation brings a different person from inside. So you have to take it as a challenge and make sure that, you know, we are mentally fit to cope up with any situation that comes around you. So it's like you know, training yourself, putting up in that pressure situations and learn how to get out of it, be it in the batting, bowling, or any of the mental aspects. Because that is one thing that, you know, that we learn from our childhood. As you know, Mumbaikers, they are street smart. So that street smartness helps us to build that mental aspect in our cricket life, because playing cricket in Mumbai is not a piece of cake for everybody. So yeah, definitely, mental aspect is something that every cricketer should look upon. Mental health is also another aspect that, you know, every cricketer should, you should see, cater and take care of it.
Certainly, and I think that is advice a lot of aspiring cricketers listening will also, you know, want to incorporate. And this is might be a kind of tricky question, but somewhere do you nurse the dream of, you know, coming back to India and play for the country, perhaps, you know, even get a chance to feature in the IPL someday?
Yes, definitely. See, as of now, I play for Uganda, and that is also one of the highest cricket that I have been playing now. So yeah, definitely IPL is something that I would really keep would eye on, because you know ultimately I'll get to play with players that I have been playing before, with the likes of Surya and everyone. So it will be like for me a dream come true to represent myself into that IPL league and play along with those stalwarts and legend players around.
Absolutely. And here's hoping that happens really soon. And moving on to the next phase of our discussion, you know, where we'll just look at other aspects of your career. So now, what does an off-season look like for you? Do you like spending a lot of time with your family? Do you have other hobbies besides, you know, playing cricket?
Off-season for me is just about taking care of my mental health, my physical health, and other aspects also, because as you know, so most of the time Uganda plays T20 cricket more, and that takes a hell lot of toll on your physical and mental health. So for mental health, I make sure that I do what I love to and what makes me feel happy, spending time with my family, spending time in nature, and that all thing brings me to where I belong. And after taking some rest, I make sure that, you know, I train myself for the highest level, because to survive at the highest level, you need to be physically and mentally fit. And to be honest, I make sure that, you know, whenever I get a day, I make sure that, you know, I train myself to keep up myself fit for that level.
Certainly. Now, even when you look at your aspirations for the future, right, both in terms of your cricketing career and a life beyond cricket, have you given it a thought and, you know, had a time to reflect about it?
Yes. The thing is, like, you know, as you know, after the cricket, so just thinking to take up the coaching, and until the time, you know, when I'm playing cricket, I'll play my cricket to the fullest and play as much as I would love to, because that is the one thing that keeps me going. It's my passion. And yeah, after the cricket and after my cricketing career, I'll make sure that, you know, I take up cricket as a coaching.
Absolutely. That will be quite fascinating. And do you have any tips and suggestions you would like to share with a youngster, you know, who kind of aspires to be like you and wants to get into this profession?
For me, I would say that, you know, as for youngsters, that, you know, keep cricket as simple as you can, and do whatever it takes to pursue your dream, your passion, and commitment is something that will take you to the place where you want to. And as you know, success does not come easily. It takes your sweat, blood, and tears. So be ready for it.
Certainly. And yeah, now we move on to our very exciting rapid fire round, where you can just, you know, answer in one word. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So our first question is, what is the one word that you would use to describe yourself?
Adventurous tip.
Okay. And one memory that will always stay with you?
World Cup qualifiers beating Zimbabwe.
Right. And do you prefer an opening spell, or are you more of a death over spell person?
Opening spell.
Right. Your favorite cricketer currently?
Virat Kohli.
And the best advice you've ever received?
Prize your wicket from Surya Kumar Yadav.
Do you have a favorite cricket movie?
Uncertainly, that is Mahindra Singh Dhoni, MSD.
Right. And do you have, a go-to senior you go for advice and feedback?
I go to my coach, that is Mr. Amol Gag.
And one compliment that has stayed with you?
You have made us proud.
And if you weren't a cricketer, what is the one profession that, you would choose and envision yourself as?
I wanted to be in the army, so defense was my other option if I wasn't to be a cricketer.
Wow. And yeah, that pretty much does conclude our rapid fire section as well. And before we wrap up our episode, do you have any last and final thoughts for our listeners?
For listeners, I would say that, thank you for listening to me. And I know most of them would be the cricketers. So please do whatever it takes for you to follow your dream, follow your passion, and do what is what comes to you in natural way. Go with the flow and just follow your instincts.
That is actually a fitting conclusion. And on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on our discussion. Thank you so much, Alpesh, for taking time off your busy schedule and, joining me on the podcast, sharing these remarkable insights that's going to be, so impactful for a lot of young cricketers and fans like me, who really wanted to listen to your story from you. Here's hoping, we can have you back on the podcast and wishing you the best for all your ventures, manifesting only good things coming your way. So until next time, stay safe and take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBack1 on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Backfoot is also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of fun content coming up there. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.